podcast with Amanda, Shani, and Colleen. It's our spooktacular Broadzaween show. My name is Colleen, aka Princess Leia. I maybe printed out and then colored it in with crayons myself. For myself, it says a woman's place is in the resistance.
I love it.
Originally, nice. Impeachment fairy, but then I never made it to the dollar store to get the fairy wings that I had previously seen there. So here we are.
I love it. I am Amanda. I am dressed up as everyone's favorite hairstyle to hate of television this year. My good friend Jane's bangs from Big Little Lies season 2.
And I feel vindicated because they look great on you. And I am Shandy, and I haven't dressed up in quite a few years. I didn't really have anything, and I didn't have any good ideas. And I even went to a store. I tried. And then it occurred to me that in a pinch, I can always just get some lipstick and be everyone's favorite Molly Ringwald.
I love it.
And the Breakfast Club.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. That's clever.
Yeah.
Update for everybody. GarageBand still hasn't opened, and I restarted the computer like 10 minutes ago.
So give it another 4 or 5 minutes. Mm. It should be good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going on the YouTube audio to start again, but
sorry guys, I thought I heard upstairs. I think it was just a kid outside screaming.
Oh man,
maybe it's hard to tell. Maybe it's a ghost. Maybe it's the ghost of a upstairs neighbor's past.
There is nothing that I would want more for this live show than everybody here. Welcome to hear Amanda's neighbors going at.
Like, also,
not a party until somebody's having sex.
Until someone's having sex.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it was like a two timer last night, so they might be tired. Mm. Also, can we talk about your wine glass for a minute and how great it is with its little spider?
So it's hard plastic, and my coworker got it last year in like some raffle bag thing like that she won, and she's terrified of spiders. So she was like, "Does anybody want this?" And I was like, "I will totally take it."
I love it.
Like, you know, rooftop bar hard plastic, and it's great. And nice. This is only the second time. This might be the first time I'm ever using it. And
I like it.
I got a little of the champagne.
Nice.
It's festive.
Nice, nice. Yeah. In the chat, JP says that I look like that woman who had that walk by role on HBO. And that thought did occur to me, but I literally don't have a polo shirt. So
you didn't get to keep your costume?
Nope. Sure didn't.
Yeah. God, cheapskates.
Yeah.
Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Anyway.
I mean, I can't really imagine wearing a polo shirt anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah. They're making a comeback.
They are making a comeback. Well, flannel shirts are making a comeback.
Flannel has been back. I feel like I've been wearing flannel for a few years.
Maybe it depends on the region and in the country in which you live.
Okay, maybe. They've been back in New York for a while.
Yeah, I feel like it never went out of style in Montana. So
that's fair. Legitimate.
Yeah. I mean, it's warm.
Yeah.
Practical.
Functional. Comes in all an array of lovely colors.
Yeah sure does. Sure does.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, you know what? If I did have that polo from Big Little Lies, it was kind of like a salmon color. So I could have also said that I was dressing up as Gott.
Oh.
That was meant as a nice barb, hopefully.
No.
Taken as such.
No, you would need to get a little sign like I had that had hashtag MAGA and... Just kidding. Looks like we have a little bit of a party going on in the chat. Speaking of, I see Mike is there. Ro is there. JP is there. Greg is there. Dennis is there. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
We need to come up with like a hashtag or something. Because Broadzoween doesn't like look good.
Yeah.
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
I was like, hey.
All Hallows Broads.
Oh, All Hallows Broads. I like that one. Mm. I wanted to tie it into the time warp somehow because we did that awesome thing on Greg's Facebook post.
I saw that after the fact. I was really bummed I missed it. That was pretty great.
I was like so gleeful at it. And then when, you know, I I managed to see it when it was like time for the time warp. I was like, yes.
I think I missed this completely.
So he wrote yesterday, it's astounding. And then Gott wrote, time is fleeting. And then Jessica quickly chimed in with, madness takes its toll. And then some of his other friends, JP, Matt Loves TV, myself, we jump in and we just start, everybody types a line from Time Warp. And at one point he goes, I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
It's so really good. So good. This might be the first Halloween in a while that I haven't watched Rocky Horror.
Oh, I know. I even went to Pumpkin Patch this year. Both times we tried to go, it rained. And we haven't had rain in Raleigh in months. So it just happened to be the only 2 days we've had rain since like August.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all right, though. That's all right. There's always next year. I didn't get to have my Halloween party either, but I'm having it now with you fine people.
Yes.
Hooray.
So how's it going?
Good.
Pretty great.
Nice. I have a story. It's a quick story. I am so glad that I wrote it down immediately after it happened because I forgot about it. And then when I opened my notebook today to like write down stuff for the show, I was like, oh my God, I forgot this happened. So I went geocaching after work on Thursday, and it was underneath a bridge, right? And the bridge starts on land and goes over like a small creek, but like I was underneath, obviously, by the land part, and clearly somebody is walking over me and they didn't know that I was there. And
oh, God.
I hear. I was like, oh my God, this person just farted above me and I'm stuck under the bridge because I can't leave now until they're out of sight.
Now, did the smell waft down to where you were standing?
No, it sounded like it was mostly air. Don't laugh. It's so mean to laugh. They think they're alone.
No, I think it's more like an inclusive laugh where it's like, yeah, who hasn't done that where you think you're by yourself and like
because at first I was like, is that a dog? And there was no dog.
No, no. Oh, that's great.
It was really funny. I was like, all right, it's gonna be a good weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I took Friday off and I went hiking and I saw a movie. I love to see shitty like action movies, as you know. And I went to see this movie and I thought it was an action movie. And then all the trailers were horror trailers. So I like Googled it real quick and it was totally a horror movie. And I was like, oh, I am not prepared for this. I was like, go get a beer or something. I thought that I was like, gonna sit back and enjoy. Yeah, I ended up watching it, but I ended up watching it, you know, like this for most of it. And at one point I was like, let me just check my email from work. Like I did a lot of that, like one eye on the screen thing. Cause I was not like mentally prepared, but it was okay. It was fun as far as horror movies go. It was a countdown. It was an app that tells you when you're going to die.
Oh God. I don't know.
Anyway, that's it with me. I'm cool. Running in the New York City Marathon this weekend. So I'm flying up on Saturday afternoon and coming back on Sunday afternoon, and we're gonna watch your run, and I'm very excited. So
nice.
That's very exciting.
Yeah,
it's a whirlwind weekend for you though.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. She's ready to be done though. She's like, this was a great experience, but I think I'm good. I'm glad to check it off my list and
one and done.
She thinks, I don't know,
give her a couple of months.
Yeah, when she stops running, she's gonna be like, what is this free time that I have?
Oh,
and Shandy, I went swimming.
Nice.
All right.
Nice. So the pool's fixed, or did you just go somewhere else altogether?
Pool. And that was how I ended up with the geocaching, was because it was, I wanted to find that one under the bridge in specifically, and it was a tenth of a mile off of the trail behind that branch of the gym. So let me go swim and then I'll just, you know, shower and walk over there because it was nice out still that I could, you know, have wet hair outside. And yeah, so that was fun. But I swam for 30 minutes, 27 laps, I think I got done. I don't know how long the pool is. I just counted 27 back, like forward and backwards.
Nice.
There's no signs in there that tell you like what it is. So I don't know. I remember somebody saying once that every quarter of a mile is like 9 per quarter of a mile. So I was like, well, let me see as far as I can get in 30 minutes. If I die, I die. And I almost died. Like, but
oh, dear.
Like, I don't know, like muscle memory kicked in. Cause like by the next lap, I was like, oh my God, the old lady that's doing her like aerobics by herself at the other end of the pool is probably going to look at me and be like, why is she swimming like that?
She's got her own thing going on.
I went swimming today during my lunch break.
Ooh.
Because I decided to give that a try. Usually lunch is like the sacred time for me. But I decided the pool can be sacred too. It's just, you know, the transportation and the eating part. It's a little bit of logistics. I don't like to be rushed with food.
That's fair.
But it's very important. But it felt really nice to like work out during the day.
That's awesome.
That's
literally most days the only time I have.
Nice. Yeah. And then you have your whole evening.
Yeah,
I mean, well, you have a different
different routine.
Yeah,
but you don't have to try and fit it into your evening,
right?
Exactly.
And yet, like today, like I didn't sleep very well last night, so I was really tired today. So, like, I knew that if I saved it for that little amount of time between like getting off work and doing the podcast, I would just totally not go because I would have been too tired. So there you go, got it in.
Makes sense. Already.
Nice.
Good for you guys. I did not exercise today.
I didn't either today.
Okay.
Well, Tuesday used to always be like a no exercise day for me because it's like I go to work early, I come home, I like maybe have time for dinner, and then we podcast, and then it's like dark. So there's just no time. But lunch.
That's good. I feel like I need to do that like reclaim your lunch thing because I don't. I like work through lunch basically.
Oh, God. No.
Basically every day.
Leave the building. I like, see, this is the thing. Like, it's not like, I mean, I'm sort of like replacing one form of workout with another because I always walk home for lunch. And so, like, you know, that's, you know, whatever, like a total, maybe a half an hour walk. But I have to like leave the building, like go somewhere else, like, you know, preferably home, but definitely somewhere else to come back fresh.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. No, I'm just exhausted all day because I sit down at my desk and if I don't go replenish my water or get up to pee or going to a meeting, I just don't look up until it's time to go home.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah.
You should take your lunch break. I need
to reclaim my lunch. But then I'm going to be there later. So it's not like there's also the turn, the, like the sort of the catch 22.
But not necessarily because I do think that people, and I've probably heard this anecdotally, I don't know. Mm. Somebody look it up. I'm sure there's a study out there. I feel like you come back more like refreshed and focused that if you do take a break versus like just working through it. And then you're also like eating at the same time. So like, how much are you really working? And I don't know. I think it's worth it.
Yeah. I see. I do like more menial tasks or like given what I do sometimes. My job is literally to watch TV sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I'll save some of that for while I'm eating lunch. So it kind of feels like I'm not working, but I am working.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Cool. Bangs are a lot of work, guys. Bangs are a lot of work. Especially when you're trying to adjust them backwards.
Why do you think I don't have them anymore?
Yeah, they're a lot of work. Even bad bangs are a lot of work.
They still look great. Just saying.
They look better than my Long Island bangs that I grew up with until age 32. So
oh, I always liked your bangs.
You know, I liked some iterations of them. Sometimes my time hop shows me a picture and I'm like, they weren't so bad. And then sometimes my time hop shows me a picture and I was like, holy fuck, what was I thinking?
It was of a time.
But anyway, speaking of a time, November is just around the corner, aka maybe today, maybe it's tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this and I get this show posted. November is the month of Broadsgiving, as we've declared it. And we were thinking of ways to like celebrate it. And we came up with the idea that perhaps for the month of November, if you could write in to us and let us know, like, if you want to highlight a charity or an organization, just you want to raise awareness about it, maybe, you know, bring people's attention to it. Tell us why you think that somebody that it, people should donate to it or volunteer for it, just to bring focus on more local and national charities and organizations, just to, and maybe that'll inspire somebody else, you know, somebody listening to seek out something similar in their town or, you know, check out what you're talking about or whatever. For instance, I was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago and somebody talked about a women's shelter in Raleigh that I had not heard of before. And it was telling me that it was supposed to be more trans safe and trans friendly, except they were so overcrowded that women were made to sleep in the parking lot at night. And they were in desperate need of supplies and volunteers and whatnot. So I went on their website to check them out and I saw that they had an Amazon Prime like wish list. So I sent them some of the stuff off of their wish list. So, but I think that there's probably a lot more women's shelters and organizations throughout the country that probably have, you know, similar issues. So maybe, you know, look into something similar in your town. So, yeah.
Yay.
Yes. I love this. I think this is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love this year's iteration of like what Broadsgiving is.
Yeah.
Same. Very well thought out.
Yes.
And then as far as our live annual Broadsgiving show, which I have this reminder in my phone that I'm supposed to, hold on. I swear to God, I have this reminder. Oh, it's called Pre-Gravy. I'm not sure what Pre-Gravy is about, but I'm going to have to go re-listen to last year's show and find out why I called it that.
It might be because I make gravy ahead of Thanksgiving because I have to bring my own vegetarian gravy. Mm. Was it maybe that?
Oh, so I set this reminder for, I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm going to have to go back and listen. Okay. To be out there. Chat or listening right now wants to let it know, broadcasterspeech.com or comment on the Facebook page, whatever. Otherwise, we're going to have to mystery and we'll have to figure it out. But I think this year we're going to do the live show on Tuesday, November 19th. The following week, we'll probably not have a new episode. That's the week of Thanksgiving itself. Happy Broadsgiving.
Cool.
So, all right, buckle in because it's my favorite time of the year, the show in which I read scary stories. It's time for All Hallows Broad story. Ooh, be scary. Ooh. Oh, hey, look, GarageBand just opened up.
21 minutes and 52 seconds. Some kind of record.
That is insane.
So let me just start recording into it. So that way, God forbid, we need a backup of something.
Always wise.
Always wise. Mm-hmm. All right. So I have 9 pages of stuff, but that's only because I can't see. And when I was going through it on my computer, just to like, you know, take out ones and reorganize or whatever, I couldn't read them. So I had to make it like big font and 150% zoomed in.
Nice.
Because I
where are those reading glasses of yours?
Because I didn't want to be Princess Leia in reading glasses. I just
could have been. No judges.
Costume change. Hold on.
Yeah.
No. And now I'm Clark Kent. And now I'm Princess Leia. Now I'm Clark Kent. And now I'm Princess Leia. All right. So I do have a bunch of stories, though. They're somewhat organized. This first set is supernatural. Supernatural scary ones. And this is from a Reddit thread. What is it? So I spent like 3 hours at work reading a lot of Reddit threads and Jezebel threads. Because Jezebel, the website, has like a scary stories competition every year.
Oh. Ooh.
Yes. But all of theirs were super long. However, there was one that I took from it, but like they were all super long. Okay, anyway, these first ones are from the Reddit thread. Ask, what is a paranormal, creepy, or unexplainable thing that has happened to you? And these are, I go from scary to to friendly ghosts because I didn't want to leave everybody on like a.
Oh, that was thoughtful.
Okay. You're welcome. So this first story is the only one in which I accidentally deleted the user who wrote it, but I do credit everybody else. I used to take walks. I used to take walks in the woods of Appalachia quite a bit when I was younger. I told the story of I've told the story of turnaround, so this time I'll just remember the basement. I guess this person tells stories all the time, whatever. I came across a really old clapboard house. It was so old and decrepit that the floors had fallen in, and only parts of the outside walls and some of the chimneys still stood. I looked around for a minute, and then a thought pops into my head. Ah, if I go around the right side and around the back, I'll find some stairs leading down to the basement. I'm already here. I might as well go say hello. I walked around the house's right side and found the stairs. I went down them and knocked on the door. After a second knock, I hear someone on the other side scrambling at the locks on the other side like in a huge rush. I heard them mutter to themselves, "Just a minute. Don't go. Don't go." All at once, I realized where I was, what I was doing, and the fact that someone was about to open the door. I got the hell out of there fast, and I've never been back. And there were a lot of comments on this particular story of people that were like, I grew up in Appalachia, and there are crazy tales like this all the time. Like, that area is wild.
Jeez. Ooh. Don't go.
Don't go. Next
go
story.
Go right away and go quickly.
Yes.
Don't talk in the first place. What are you doing?
Well, it was the ghost planted the idea.
Yeah.
It was like luring them.
Exactly.
Come, little children, I'll take thee away. Into my creepy basement.
This next story is from a user called What Is Lapping. I was around the age of 4. I was in my bed and ready to go to sleep. I was scared of the dark when I was younger, so I covered my whole body with the bed covers. I started to get hot and I put my right hand out, and a hand that felt really bony slightly moved down my hand and pulled my hand back in under the covers. I stayed still for about a minute just listening till I had the confidence to look, but I saw nothing. Then 2 years later, the skeleton of a body from the 1900s was found in the wall of my house. Luckily, we were just renting. This next one is from Master Chief. Apparently, I haven't made this big enough. Master Chief 9995. Yeah, that's what she said, Matt. We get it. When my niece was around 3 years old, she was going to bed and said goodnight to her mom after her mom said good. And sorry, these are all from the internet, so there's no fucking punctuation. Try this again. When my niece was around 3 years old, she was going to bed. She said goodnight to her mom. And after her mom said goodnight back, a doll that was on the floor on the other side of the room near nobody said goodnight.
Oh. Dolls.
That was a long time ago, and the doll did not have voice recognition in it.
Nope. Dolls and clowns.
Chucky.
Although I liked it too, actually, the new one. And Chucky, yeah. I haven't seen that movie in years. This is from Lady Phobos Reads. I was sleeping in a cot in the living room because my grandma had come over and was sleeping in my room. I dreamt that someone was playing with my hair as I lay sleeping. Eventually, I turned over to check who it was. There was a figure made of shadows standing over me. Once they noticed I was awake, they turned and drifted away into my bedroom where Grandma was sleeping. When I spoke to my mom the next morning, she told me that she had dreamt a shadowy figure was standing at the foot of her bed watching her for what felt like hours. Finally, it drifted out of her room and towards the living room. I didn't tell her about my dream because it would have freaked her the fuck out. It definitely freaked me out.
Dude, I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
Oh my God. No, don't worry. Nice. We're ending on the positive ones. Or at least one positive one. This next one is a nice one, actually. Look, I even put a note in italics. This is a nice one because I knew. This is from Al Fatman. When my grandfather died, I received a few of his belongings, mostly his sports stuff, considering that we support the same team. But I also got his bedside lamp. It's a touch lamp and fairly old, so it sits on my desk to keep it safe. Ever since I got it, it would randomly turn on, middle of the night, no one near it. Entering the room to see it on was a common thing. The weirdest of all being when I was explaining to my parents about it, it just turned itself on to the highest setting. To do that, it needs to be touched 3 times, you know, like click, click, click. And it has never done that since. I don't believe in the paranormal, and it may just be faulty wiring, but a part of me likes to think that it's just my grandpa saying hi.
Aww.
That's nice. I like that one. That one is nice. After my grandfather died, so after I moved here, I, you know, go home and visit, and then when I would leave, my grandpa would give me $20 to, like, you know, just like, here's a 20, go take care of yourself. And after I got home the day that he died, I opened my wallet and there was a $20 bill in there that I don't remember putting in there.
Oh, I love that.
So I still think that that was from him. And my mom has some crazy stories. My mom and my grandma both had a dream. So my mom had a dream that my grandpa was in her dream and said something like, and she was like, "Hi, Dad, what are you doing?" And he was like, "Oh, I just came to check the house." And she called my grandma the next morning, and my grandma told her before she could tell her this dream that she had had a dream that my grandpa was walking around downstairs in the house.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And they had that dream. They had those two dreams the same night.
Oh, my God. There is so much of the universe that we can't even possibly begin to understand. And I don't think we're supposed to.
Yeah. Sherry asked if I've seen the ghost at Jack's house. I have not, but I really want to.
They have a ghost?
He has a ghost. He's convinced he has a ghost. He thinks he had it on video on the Nest Ring Cam thingy-majiggy. And that video got deleted by somehow.
Whoa.
Ghost is camera shy. He swears
like that. He woke up and he like texted everybody out and told everybody about it. And he swears. And he went back to watch it and it was gone. And he was like, "No, I know this happened. I know it happened." So, yeah. Crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Spooky.
Spooky. Okay, these next ones are kind of a mixture. This one is spooky, but I think this might be the last of the spooky. No, there's two more spooky ones, and then we get into just fucking scary. So, okay. And this is from, these next one set are from a Reddit thread, an Ask Reddit thread, and this is the title of the thread. Reddit, get your shit together. We're halfway through October, and there has yet to be any epic, creepy story threads. So until that happens, what are your creepiest, spookiest, most inexplicable, supernatural, / horrifying life experiences? I love that title.
I kind of forgot it was a title.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right. This is from somebody named Uncle Coyote.
It's a ghost!
whose ghost is that?
It's a ghost party.
Is that your Shandy or Amanda? Oh, darn. I was hoping that Amanda's neighbors were having a party.
No, they're moving furniture right now.
Oh.
I can feel things like drawers and things.
That sounds like a euphemism for the start of a porno.
Yeah.
Not even a euphemism. It just sounds like a start of a porno. Please, can you help me move my drawer?
It's just overly stuffed. I can't get it to shut. There's too much in it.
Yeah, I'm trying to push with my legs and my back, but I just can't. And I need a little bit of help. Can you just support me from behind? All right, moving on. This is from Uncle Coyote. And he says, small apartment, new wife, first kid. In order to get into the kitchen from the living room, you have to Salam past the couch. And salam is like a tight, I looked it up. It's like when you've got a narrow like walkway, like a straight, narrow walkway. Past the couch, a computer desk, and into the doorway. For an adult, this is fine. For a child who was just learning to run and a computer desk that was at the perfect, make sure your kid eats crayons and can only count his spaghetti height.
Count his spaghetti.
It was a nightmare. I was tired, positioned on one end of the couch and trying to watch TV. I had just worked a million hours at the factory and wanted some peace. Zoom. My daughter runs by me at, I can't wait to wear a helmet speeds. I know, this guy's really funny. And I catch her before she bonks into the desk. I tell her to stop running to the kitchen and go back to dazing in front of the TV. Zoom. She tries it again, giggling, thinking it is now a game. I'm tired, I'm cranky, and now I'm trying to keep a kid from making sure her only college choice is burger, and my wife watches TV on the other end of the couch. I turn her around, yell at her more sternly, and repeat this game about three more times. Then, half asleep, I watch in horror as a little blonde head zooms past me and into the kitchen. I lose my shit, jump up yelling, and stomp into the kitchen just in time to see the cupboard under the sink close. What in the hell are you doing? I yell. What? What in the hell was that? My wife asks behind me, wide-eyed and pale, my young daughter asleep in her arms. We never, ever looked, and we moved soon after.
Ah, my God. It was a troll.
Or a fairy or something.
Yeah.
Or a doll.
Or a doll. Creepy doll that lives under the sink.
Speaking of dolls, this is the last of the like, creepy ones. It's from Simple Flare On. I went to Argentina a few years ago to see my mom's side of the family. I had tons of fun in Argentina, except for when I had to sleep at night. The guest room was right next to the storage room, which had the strange creepy doll that my mom got as a kid. I knew something was off about it. Fast forward to about 2:30 a.m. and I hear this loud thump in the storage room. Another thump follows. This threw me and my mom awake and we went to see what was going on. The doll had somehow gotten out of the chair and hit the door. I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. All right, so these next ones are actually real life, like actual real life, just scary shit that can happen. So,
oh, like, okay, like, then, like real stuff that can happen to you.
Yes,
these are the things that scare me the most.
I know, but we're gonna end then on something happy.
Okay. Okay,
I promise. Does anybody need a break? Does anybody need a break? Do we need a refill? Do we need a potty break? Do we just need to like go take a
costume break?
Costume break. Costume break. Break. All right.
Just kidding.
And this is from Definitely My One Account, which is kind of a brilliant name, I'm not gonna lie. Definitely My One Account, get it? Okay, whatever. My parents' bedroom is at the front of the house, immediately at the front door. My mom goes out maybe once a year, and this one night she came in at maybe 2 a.m. for her annual girls' night. She took off her shoes and headed upstairs to say goodnight to me and my siblings. My dad usually sleeps like a log, but for some unexplained reason, he was aware that the front door opened for a second time. It took him a few seconds to make it to the front door, and my mom was halfway up the stairs, but a random man was standing inside the house. Seeing my dad's shocked face, he said, "The house a couple doors down is being robbed. I was trying to tell someone," and then ran outside and down the street. The chances that this man happened to catch my mom on the rare occasion she went out, and on the basically unheard of occasion that she didn't lock the door behind her, and that my dad manages to get up, wake up, and protect the family. I've screamed bloody murder and he hasn't stirred. I can't imagine what would have happened. And my mom might not have made it halfway up the driveway, or we could have all been in danger. So that's terrifying, because clearly that dude was like, you know, the burglar. Because there's a couple of follow-up stories. Somebody said that I had a similar situation happen a few years ago. I work a night shift. My ex was asleep. We had a couple of knocks, assumed it was her brother trying to get in. After a couple minutes, we heard the back door get kicked in. I woke up still in a daze, and there was a guy in my hallway. He had the same story. Someone was trying to break in, and I was trying to scare them off. It was only after he ran off that we put two and two together. We're lucky he wasn't armed. And then, so apparently that's a thing. Mm-hmm. But I know, right? This is actually kind of funny, this next reply, and I included it because it's levity. Gravity? Levity? Okay, levity. My parents have a similar story from when I was a baby. My dad worked for a security computer company right out of college, and he had just come home from a long shift to my mom and an then infant me at 6 a.m. My mom had me in her arms. She went out to the front door to get the newspaper while my dad took his clothes off and just fell asleep on the bed. While laying there, he heard the back door of their apartment open and close. He walked out of the bedroom totally naked to catch a random guy in the kitchen. My dad is 6'4", a former college football player, and he realized what was up and just yelled, "Fuck you!" at the guy. My mom was just coming back in with me, and the newspaper heard this, thought he was yelling at her, so she came in to find out what was up, only to see my dad nakedly chasing a man out the back door.
That one's pretty good.
In the chat, Sherry says, my daughter overheard our upstairs neighbors when she was two. She told me one morning that she thought there were ghosts in her room. I asked what it sounded like, and she said, ooh, ooh. It was all I could do not to laugh. I told her it was just our neighbors upstairs playing a game. And JP wanted to know, what game did you tell her they were playing?
Oh, that's nice. You must have had the same neighbors as I have.
I think that's what we're getting at.
They get around. In more ways than one.
Are they hiding? Are they playing Find the Pickle?
Right. They're playing the quiet game, but they're very bad at it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So this next story is actually the long one of the bunch, but I thought that it was somewhat important for women to hear in general, but I don't know. Okay. And then I promise the one after this is a cool, like, spirit one that is not a scary one. And the one after that is fun, and then we're done. Okay. Everybody ready?
All right. Ready.
This is from Jezebel, their annual story contest. I think it was the ones from last year, 2019, and it's titled, Was It a Rejection? By a woman named Katie. A few years ago, I was getting ready to move from Cleveland, Ohio, to Columbus. A week before my move, I went out of town with a friend. We stayed for the weekend and drove back the following Monday. The drive was long and we were both hungover, and all I could envision was getting to my own car, inhaling some french fries, and sprawling out on my couch. Plus, my roommate had already moved out, so when I got home, it was just going to be me and my cat, Harley. Sure enough, my friend dropped me off at my car that Monday evening. I drove down the street to McDonald's for some fries and a shake, and then finally was home. When I opened the door, Harley was right there waiting like she usually does when she hears my keys in the lock. But as I walked in that night, she was crying, making this horrific noise she doesn't usually make. Normally, when I get home, Harley chirps a little. But this was a mewling that sounded painful. I knew something was up. Of course, I asked her, "What's wrong, girl?" and looked around. And that's when I noticed the TV I had in the living room was gone. I immediately ran up the steps to my bedroom, and that TV was gone too. I ran back down the steps, called my roommate, asking if she had decided to borrow the TVs for the weekend, which I knew was super unlikely, but I was trying to be optimistic. Of course, she said no, and she said she'd come over because obviously someone had broken in. I called another friend who had helped watch Harley while I was gone, and he too said that there had been TVs there all weekend, but he hadn't been in the house since Sunday night. I went outside sweating, realizing that I might not be alone in the house. I was afraid to go near the basement or my roommate's empty room. I called the police. I called my landlord. Everyone converged on the house. It was only when the police were there that I went into the backyard and discovered that our kitchen window had been expertly removed. The window was propped against our recycling bin, which was on its side. The police asked me if I had any idea who would want my TVs and some other objects that we discovered were missing, but the TVs were the most glaring items. I couldn't think of anyone. My landlord kept asking if I had any exes that I had pissed off, which I thought was weird, and I kept insisting there wasn't an ex, much less an angry one. Even asked at one point, not even a dude you rejected at a bar? To which I asked, well, how would a guy I rejected know where I live? With all of the paperwork filed, the police said that a detective would come by in the morning to fingerprint the window and some other areas of the house. They advised me not to stay in the house that night, given that sometimes repeats happen. And they also told my landlord not to touch the window itself, but he could board the window opening with plywood temporarily. The police said everything in the backyard needed to stay exactly as it was. I asked my landlord if he wanted me to stay while he boarded up the window, and he said, no, you know, go stay with your roommate for the night. I slept, but I was unsettled. The next morning, I met the detective at the house. When we got to the backyard, the whole scene had been rearranged. The recycling bin had been moved across the yard. The window was flipped. Items that had been scattered from our kitchen and backyard were thrown away. I told the detective, who kind of shrugged it off, and then he took fingerprints from the window, as well as some furniture in the house. Everything had either been wiped down or touched by someone wearing gloves. He couldn't get any evidence from anything in the house or what was left in the backyard. After he called, I called the police department again, as I was still concerned that the scene had been rearranged. The police chief ended up on the phone with me, and he told me to never be in the house alone. It seemed someone might not be done with me. Since I was moving away, this seemed easy enough. A friend with a pit bull sat with me the rest of the week while I packed. Harley and I stayed with my old roommate every night. I got a tattoo and had a going away party and left the house behind. While I was driving to Columbus, though, I couldn't stop thinking about the break-in and the fact that someone had come back. It had been so clean. No broken windows, no broken locks, nothing. And then I remembered, somehow, that just after we moved into the house over a year before, my roommates and I had run into our landlord while we were out. We had said hi and moved on, but he kept texting me, trying to get us to go to a different bar. We never met up with him that night and never saw him out again. He's the only person I rejected who also knew where I lived.
Oh.
Right?
That's really creepy.
It is really fucking creepy. People are creepy. Yep. Okay.
Not all people, though. There's a common denominator in all of these stories.
Men and dolls. No. Men and dolls.
Men and dolls.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that's not a scary story per se, but it's kind of like one of those, you know, you gotta always
keep, I mean, be aware. Those kind of stories scare me 10 times more than like creepy.
I remember
dolls
the one from last year of the mom that had like the premonition, and it was like the person that was in the ended up being in their house, and they like hid like just in the bushes or something, or jumped out of the bushes. Yes, we told. I told this story.
I think I tried to block it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Yes, the mom saved them from a guy in the bushes with a knife because she had this like weird like premonition and like refused to go up to the house. Oh my God. We definitely talked about this on the last All Hallows Broad show. All right, finish up two more, then we're done, everybody. All right, this is back to Reddit, the one with a long, fun name. And this is from Valiant Acquaintances. I will preface this by saying I am not a spiritual person. I don't believe in an afterlife or past lives or souls or anything. This experience, however, was weirdly vivid, and I still think about it despite it happening years ago. I had a dream some time ago where I died. I don't remember how, but that's not the part that stood out to me. I ended up in this purgatory slash waiting room type of place, think a dentist's office, like the good places. there was a lot of white. I remember one of the receptionists trying to sort me into heaven or hell, but I kept trying to tell her that this was some kind of mistake and I shouldn't be there. I explained that I couldn't be dead because my mother, who was going back to school at the time, would miss me and all of her efforts to improve our life would have been for nothing. She sent me away to try to cope. I don't remember much of the middle of the dream, but I do remember before I woke up, the same receptionist lady placed her hand on my shoulder and said, "Don't let your mother's hard work go to waste." I woke up immediately after that. Now that story I wasn't going to include until I read responses. This one is from a Barney's Little Cum Slut.
Again, God.
It was in all lowercase. I hadn't read it all the way through. Yeah, I know. It's Reddit, okay? There's a lot of... Anyway, charming little dot, dot, dot says, when I was about 8, I had a near-death experience, and I remember waking up in a weird dentist office with some lady wearing white asking if I thought I belonged in heaven or hell. I was out for a few minutes before I came back, but when I woke up, I was on the cement next to the pool, and a lifeguard had pulled me out of the water.
Oh, wow.
So this person had a dentist office kind of experience. Somebody called Lord of the Jennernook. Jerinook said, that's so weird. My wife had almost the exact same dream, dentist office, waiting room, and all. She tried to force herself back in her body. The receptionist told her that she was welcome to try, but, you know, eventually they placed her in heaven or hell. She struggled, but eventually woke up, and last words she heard were the woman saying, good luck. And then another person, a little Tatey Bear, said, I have a dream similar to this, where I wake up in an office/white space. In this dream, though, this woman in her dream, she had killed herself, although she doesn't say that she was suicidal in real life. But the woman in the white dentist office was telling her that she was going to be restarted in a lower life because she didn't appreciate the easier life that I previously had. Super weird and chilling. I woke up before I got to the restart. It was creepy for me to hear that your dreamscape was almost identical to mine. Isn't that crazy? Wow.
Interesting.
Has anybody
had a dream that I died, but I was not in a dentist's office? But it was a pretty crazy sort of like out of body experience.
Really? Tell us about. Do you remember anything?
Yeah. I was like in college, and I had a dream that I died, and like there were people around me, and they were all kind of freaking out. And so I left my body, and I was like looking, kind of like floating in the air, like looking down at my physical body. And everyone was freaking out. And it was like, I just wanted to tell them, like, it's okay. Like, nothing hurts. Like, it's fine. Like, it's really okay. But I could no longer like communicate with them, and they couldn't see the floating me. And so that was the only part that was kind of like anguish inducing, was I just wanted to tell them that I was okay. So they didn't need to freak out.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I've had other dreams, but nothing like that. When I was pregnant with Zach, I used to have dreams of a little boy, and then Zachary at like a year and a half, like looked exactly like the little boy in my dreams.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when my sister was pregnant with Evangeline, I used to have dreams of a little girl, and I still sometimes have dreams of a little girl, and my mom has dreams of a little girl, and we can't figure out who she is. Because both my mom and I have had dreams of my grandpa also being around this little girl. So, because she kind of does look like Evangeline now, not Evangeline before now that her hair is like in or whatever. Evangeline's my niece for anybody out there. But Evangeline's hair is much, much, much darker than the little girl's in my dream. Because the way that my mom and I both figured out that we must be dreaming similar little girls is that she looks like a young my sister, like my sister Caitlin. She looks like my sister did at like, you know, 2 or 3 years old. So,
well, maybe there's one more McAllister grandchild in the works.
Probably Christie's. Because I think Caitlin and I probably are done. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's just whatever. Or maybe there's a little girl in, like, my grandpa's past, or, you know, in my family's history somehow that, you know, my grandpa found. And I don't know. You never. It's just all whatever.
I like that kind of stuff.
I know. Me too. All right. Last one. And then we're going to move on. and this is from Rhinosaurus24. I used to work as a nighttime security guard, and my shift was 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. It was a very easy job. It was for a town beach/park, and all I need to do is lock up the gate and scare away the usual kid or two that would try to sneak into the park to drink or smoke. My usual night was spent just reading. This was days before smartphone. In my car, as my car faced the entranceway to the park, this was 99% effective at scaring off anyone who wanted to enter. One night I brought a sandwich to eat, and I guess it didn't sit well with me because I had to run to the bathroom, which was very old and very and usually dirty. In the middle of the night, it was very loud in there. Then any noise seemed to echo forever. As I'm honking along in there, I started to hear something. Mom? What the fuck? Mom? Again, I'm alone here. It's pretty far away from anyone's houses, so it's not likely that a kid got lost coming out here. Plus, it's like 2 a.m., but I keep hearing it. Mom? So I finish up in the bathroom, and I run to my car and lock myself up in there. But I start to think, well, fuck, what if there is an actual kid out there? So, acting out the first scene of any horror movie, I go out and investigate the kid crying for their mommy in the woods. Oh, normally, I don't, nothing. I don't see anything. But then I hear it again. Mom, where is it coming from? It sounds like it's actually coming from inside the fucking wall of the bathroom building. Now, the bathroom building is literally one brick thick, so it's not even like it could have gotten stuck. Something could have gotten stuck inside the wall. But even as I get closer, all I can hear is, Mom? So I'm about to leave because fuck this. I'm not dealing with a ghost in a wall crying for its mommy. But then I see it. Down at the bottom of the wall, there's a tiny crack, and inside a tiny little black kitten. Its meowing sounded like, Mom? Oh. I gave it some of my food, and from that night on, I had a little friend that I worked, that a little friend while I worked the night shift.
Oh,
see, that I told you I was going to end on a good one.
Oh, that is a good one.
I like that one.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, God, why are kids so terrifying?
Oh, good times. Good times. All right, that's what we had to say. I know that took a little while, but I hope everybody enjoyed it. It was a good half hour, but hopefully. Come on. I know there were last year's stories were a little bit better, but I feel like, I don't know. I feel like this year's stories can lend to discussion. So if you have anything to say, let's keep it going. The broadcasters 3 at gmail.com or give us a call 331-276-2373. All right. That's what we had to say. I think it's time for me to stop talking and for the facey back. Let's hear what everybody else had to say on this fine, fine All Hallows Broad. All Broad's Eve? No, All Hallows Broad. Okay.
All Hallows Broad.
Ro had a picture for Shandy and she said, let's just hope the nylons don't run. And the picture was me, wears a dress with pockets. Person, I like your dress. Me, thanks, it has pockets. Dresses with pockets are the best.
Oh, they are so good.
Dude, I was once in a wedding and the bride got us dresses specifically that had pockets.
Oh, bless her.
And her wedding dress also had pockets.
That's amazing.
Best wedding ever.
Yep.
Yeah. Dennis said, had to chime in here about getting cold after eating. It may be different for different people, but we definitely get cold after eating. It has been that way for as long as we can remember. And when we were working, many people had some type of long sleeve shirt to put on when returning to work. The reasoning was that the blood was redirected from your extremities to your stomach for digestion. Wow. Okay.
That sounds familiar. I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, I'm not a doctor. I can't confirm or deny if it's true, but I have heard that before, that like the blood goes to helps you digest.
Makes sense.
Sherry said, this was a great episode. Colleen, I love the podcast you recommend. Serial is amazing and I'm enjoying In the Dark as well. Keep making the recommendations. Hashtag Colleen is my influencer. This is my favorite comment that we've ever gotten. Thank you.
Nice.
All right. moving on. We've got a scary story voicemail from Tasia. It's two parts. So what you're going to hear, people in the chat, I'll edit it for the rest of us, I think, if I don't do it smoothly. You're going to hear part one. It'll stop. And then I'm going to quickly load up part two. So, all right, here we go. I'm really excited to hear somebody else tell a scary story.
Hi, ladies. It's me, Tasia. I'm just driving home from work, and I finally got to this episode because I haven't had time to listen to the last episode, and I heard my shout-out. And I was like, oh, cool. I've got, like, 20 minutes to leave a voicemail about things that are spooky because apparently I need to do that. So as Shandy knows, I am a connoisseur of all things spooky and creepy. It's like my jam, like back in high school. I would spend hours on Crime Library reading about serial killers because I am that kid.
Anyway, guys,
Same. So I guess I'll tell you like my one weird, creepy, haunted experience that I've had. That I think is the closest thing I've had to like a real ghost experience. And like, side note, if it's in like driving distance, I know it's haunted. I've been there. So I've been like to the Whaley House in Preston Castle, which by the way, you can look it up, creepy. Alcatraz, the Stanley Hotel I've been to, not to like name drop, but I like all things that are weird. Also, if you want serial killer stories, I don't know if you know this, but in the 70s, Santa Cruz was known as Murder City USA because we had three serial killers at the same time, but I digress. By the way, this is like not scripted, I'm just like really tired and hungry. Anyway, so my one weird haunted experience that I've had happened when I used to work at the Steinbeck House. So John Steinbeck is from Salinas, California. His house is there. And the weekends what they do is they'll have like lunches from like 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And like, I started volunteering there when I was 13 because it's all based in volunteer services. And I love history. I've always really enjoyed it. So as soon as I was old enough, I was like, hell yeah, sign me up. Go for some food. So this time I was 16. I was with my friends who also worked there, and the way the house is laid out is there's a basement, there's a main floor, and there's some steep stairs that you go up where you can like change, get ready, like the kids used to like ride their roller skates around and stuff upstairs. And then there's an attic. So I had always heard stories about other people's experiences with like glasses flying off of shit and just weird noises or like maybe someone seeing something. But up until this point, I hadn't really had any experience. So I'm upstairs with my friends, and I'm like being cocky, like mocking the spirits, like, oh, John Steinbeck, are you here? You know, just like fucking around. And we wait, we're quiet, we don't hear anything. I'm like, all right, I'm going to change the bathroom. So I'm in the bathroom, and then I'm sitting, and I realize I can hear something, like upstairs in the attic space. And I'd always thought about going up in there and checking it out just because I like getting into trouble and like doing things I shouldn't be doing. But the attic's really hard to get into. It's one of those like little pull down attics, right? So there's no way there's anyone up in there. So I'm sitting and I'm listening and I'm like, so apparently I'm too long for your voicemail. Anyway, so I'm sitting in the bathroom. I'm hearing something across the ceiling. I'm like, that's too big to be a rat. And I realize what I'm hearing sounds like footsteps going across my head, going bum, 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 bum. So I'm sitting there being really quiet because I'm like, the fuck is this shit? Like, there is nobody that's up there. That's really loud. What is going on? And I'm by myself at this point upstairs. I'm like, there's no one else upstairs to me. So I'm sitting. It keeps going on for a few minutes. Finally, I stand up, go for the sink to wash my hands, and the sound has stopped. And it's really quiet. My friend comes out to the bathroom door. And after she asked me if I was, like, done getting ready, I start screaming. So, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, where your body reacts to something before your mind has a chance to catch up and figure out why it's reacting. It's happened to me a couple times.
Yeah.
But I start screaming, and I don't realize until a few seconds later that it's because I feel like something grabbed my ankle. And the immediate response was like rationalized, like, was it a rat? It happened to have been a rat, right? Like, but there was nothing there. So my friend was like halfway down the stairs, like she jammed. I scared the crap out of her. But that's something that's happened to me that was kind of spooky, scary, that I've never been able to rationalize. And you can sure she said that I never tried mocking ghosts in John Steinbeck's house again. The end. By the way, Amanda, Colleen, when you guys come out here, can I make you guys do something spooky, scary? Please. Bye.
Oh my God, she had the ghosts of wrath. I've been waiting 3 minutes to make that joke.
Nice. Yeah, so last year when she and I went to the Rupee Kaur show in San Francisco together, when we were driving back and it was like pretty late, you know, like 11 o'clock or something, like dark. And we're driving back from San Francisco and she's like telling me all about like all of the different serial killers in Santa Cruz and like all of these different stories. And at one point I had to be like, Tasia, I need you to stop because I'm really fucking freaked out and I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Oh my God. Tasia's story, though, reminded me of something else that's happened to me. I went for a walk on Saturday, and I went to a different part of the Raleigh Greenway trail, and I was exploring like a little side trail. Like it was a side trail. It wasn't part of the main trail, but it was not like, you know, part of the main trail. I don't know if it had been like, was it like a purpose side trail or something that like, you know, had just been eroded away because people walked to like, you know, see the stuff at the end of it like over time. Anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm checking my phone to see like, oh, what landmarks are I near? And as I look up after maybe about 30 seconds, I feel like something like touched me on my back like this. And I was just like, what the fuck is that? And I swear to God. So I said a Hail Mary because I'm, you know, still me. And like, I was like, nope, whatever, whoever you are not allowed here. You are not allowed with me. And then I went back to the main trail and kept going. But yeah, that totally happened to me on Saturday.
Oh, God. Oh,
oof. Yeah. I also have another story like that, but I'll save that for another day. But it directly involves this weird feeling that I had in 2016 before like my life got really shitty, and I look back and I still think that like something had like attached itself to like my house, but whatever. We can talk about that another day, because I actually have that will take we're at an hour and we want to wrap this up, so
oh yeah. Did I ever tell you guys the clown story and the ping pong table?
Oh, God. No, but please do.
It's a quick one.
That's okay. Remember, we can go to like an hour and 20. We're good.
Okay. Keep going. Okay. So I used to counsel at a theater summer camp. And in the winters, we would do like a reunion with the kids where we'd all do a weekend and we'd like put the show back together for like their parents and stuff. And it was really cool, but the counselors would always stay at the same people's house every year. And this one year that we were staying there, we would always stay like in their sort of like rec room basement. And it's sort of L-shaped. And where like I had kind of set up my sleeping bag was like next to like a tied up ping pong table that was up against the wall. And sort of next to that, there were some shelves. And at the top of the shelf were these kind of like creepy porcelain clown dolls.
Oh God.
Which I made fun of because they were creepy. And when I get uncomfortable, I just make awkward comments. Cut to the middle of the night. I'm just sleeping, minding my own business.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden, Amanda, I hear like this noise. And I open my eyes and the ping pong table had like broken free from its bindings and had opened up over me.
Whoa.
So I open my eyes and I am inches away from like the beam underneath the table that connects the pieces.
Shit.
And the funny thing is that I was lying on my back. I was sleeping on my back, which I never do. So the legs of the table fell exactly along the sides of my body. Like if I had been in any other position, I would have gotten seriously hurt. And so I make a noise, like I open my eyes and I gasp. I'm like, which wakes up the person next to me that opens their eyes, look over, and they gasp. And then it becomes like popcorn across the room. People are like, what? Huh? Ew. It's like someone wakes up. They're like, guys, why are you being so loud? Oh, my God. So and like I have to like push myself out from under the table to get free. And to this day, I swear it was because I made fun of the clowns. They were testing me. They were like, this time, but next time. You're not going to be so lucky.
Or maybe they were, and you had somebody there to protect you to make sure that you were.
Maybe.
I think you had somebody there with you.
Don't fuck with the clowns.
Don't fuck with the clowns.
Don't fuck with the clowns.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some extra ASMR tonight.
But then it ended up being a cat.
Then it was a cat. Meow.
All right. We got two more pieces of listener feedback. The next one is actually going to be our Andy update because we have something else to end on for this week. So we're switching it up a little bit. Woo!
Woo! Spooky! Okay. So Andy writes in, hey, broads. It was fun listening to last week's episode, knowing the unplanned Armando callback was coming. And that's what she said. So this is 2 weeks ago. Although before we get all Team Universe, the broadcast was my joke. So me bringing it back isn't too much of a stretch. Okay. Happy 150th show. Seems like yesterday this started, and of course milestones like this make us take stock of how things have changed. Some of the changes are big, like Alex, and some changes are not as significant, as we've seen in the 106 episodes since I first wrote. Of course, it isn't exactly where I wanted to be, but that is life sometimes. Hopefully it won't take another 150 episodes before I find someone. Anyway, I went to a wedding of another friend of mine recently. It was a lovely ceremony and weekend. Really couldn't ask for anything better. Of course, they talked about the couple and their story. They met on one of those dating sites I frequented with less success. As you can guess, they talked about how they knew right away that they were the one, and it had me thinking of how we tell stories of our lives. Yes, Andy, that's exactly what I was thinking as I was reading this. I don't have that kind of story, so I've always wondered when that story would happen to me. Not to take anything away from the happy couple, of course, but stories like these you hear at weddings, engagement parties, Facebook posts, are told after the fact. We love stories. It helps manage a world filled with chaos. Obviously, if you made it to getting married, your relationship was something special. Hopefully. Not always. Maybe you feel that way about someone else in the past, or maybe you felt that way about someone else in the past, and then that relationship goes south for whatever reason. So you discard that story as a story of true love because it clearly wasn't, or maybe it's refashioned into an important lesson that made you ready for the relationship that works. The way we tell stories involves a lot of cherry picking, but to do so, we have to have cherries to pick. We need some time and hindsight to see these moments as the ones that develop into the moments that form our lives, both as individuals and with our relationships with other people. So I should keep that in mind as I put myself out there and meet new women, not to get too fixated on who she will be for me and just focus on who she is now and take it from there. She may be just a random person I encounter in my day. She could be a friend, maybe she could be my first, and maybe she could be something more. And besides, instantly behaving like you would at your wedding toast on your first date is crazy. Also, yeah, I realize after proofreading this, I included a line about cherries in my letter about being a virgin. Well, I'm keeping it in because I'm super last minute getting this in, and getting it in late is kind of a thing for me. Hashtag I'm with her is 150 episodes and counting, Andy.
Oh,
yeah. The story that people tell at their wedding is their myth story.
Yeah.
And, you know, for better or for worse. And of course there are elements of truth but like, it's the way, kind of reminds me honestly of How I Met Your Mother. They did an episode where they talked about this. And for all of how I Met Your Mother has aged very poorly, there are still, you know, some interesting
things. Some universal truths.
Yes.
That they did get right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love this. I love it.
Cool. Honestly, I had a thought while you were reading it, and of course, now I cannot remember what it was. I'm trying to reread that paragraph to be like, what was it that I wanted to say? It was also about stories, and shit, now I cannot remember. I was like, don't forget it, don't forget it. And then, of course, the second I just stopped thinking that, I forgot it. I'm sure I'll blurt it out like we do. I'm sure I'll, all right. But we're not going to have the last word on Andy this week like we generally do. We actually have an email for Andy from Christy, and we figured we would let Christy take us out for feedback.
Yeah. So Christy says, Andy, you seem an intelligent and sensitive individual. My thoughts are that any lady you'd actually be into and have a connection with would likely be intelligent and sensitive. As such, I can't even fathom a woman like that thinking that your virgin status would be a deal breaker. I know this is a fear for you, and like so many other fears we humans allow to take up space in our heads, it's likely irrational. Maybe some self-talk or mantra speak would work to eliminate this fear for you. You are a freaking unicorn. Amen. As long as you are willing, there is a lady out there that will be really, really into experimenting with you. They will love the challenge of showing you the ropes. You have nothing to untrain. You are willing to learn what they like. Super bonus. I say this from experience, having deflowered 4 men myself.
Damn, get a girl.
It was thrilling. They were more sensitive to my needs, more willing to take direction. And yeah, knowing they weren't experienced was a big turn on. So there you go. Expel that fear from your thoughts. It will be amazing and will happen. Thanks, ladies. Christy. No, thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Christy.
That was the best. Such good advice, and get it, girl.
And yes, talk about seriously. Reframing the narrative and the story that we tell and how we tell it.
Yeah. Amen.
I love that. And I love that she's, you know, like everything she said, I completely agree with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Said it way better than I ever could have. So way to go.
Yes.
Thank you, Christy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Has Christy written in to us her loss of virginity story from 3 years ago at this point? It's been such a long time. I can't remember.
I can't either.
Hold on. I might do a search of our email because why not?
I mean, if we can't remember, she always could do it again.
True.
That's very true. Oh, no. She did.
All right.
Oh.
She did. She wrote it to us on March 13th, 2007. 2017.
Redates the podcast.
Yeah.
She went a little back to the future with it.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Gotta add your spin to things.
Yeah. Good times. I'm trying reading it. She did not have a great first time. Maybe that's why she
takes so much care.
Yeah, made it her life's work to make the experience better for others.
She became a first time fairy.
Yeah.
Broadsgiving and all. I'm just kidding. In the chat, JP said, There is a little creepy doll at my parents' house, that Shore house, that I love moving around the house when people don't expect it.
Oh, that's mean.
Yes, but as long as he's telling us that he's the one moving it, I'm okay with that.
Yes. I can handle that.
At some point, Mike had asked about... He said that the proof that there's no ghosts is that you always just hear about like old, like Civil War and Victorian era ghost stories, which I think we had a good variety tonight. But
right. I don't agree with that statement.
Why are there no ghosts at a disco? And I Googled ghost stories from a disco. And in 1991, some dude named Sergio something Russian opened an Ozone Disco. and this disco was haunted. It's all ghost stories from the Ozone Disco. People passing beside the lonely disco saw spooky figures watching them from broken windows. Whispers come from the cursed house in the night. I skipped the whole story of how it got, like, from, you know, he bought it and had the disco, and then 5 years later it was empty. I'm sure somebody died there, but like people saw like you know, Oh! There was a fire or something, and the
fire the disco
fire
disco inferno burn baby burn.
Okay, this is in such poor taste. Amanda, you just told the story about making fun of the clowns and then almost dying.
Yeah, I live life dangerously.
You are wearing Jane's bangs.
I am wearing Jane's bangs. Nothing can hurt me from behind this fringe.
Next year, if you want to repurpose that costume, you could be Jane's bangs, and I will make you an airplane costume.
Yeah. That's true. I should have taken it one step further, just worn like a...
No, you could have just got a toy airplane and literally put the picture for it. Then
I wouldn't be able to see you guys. Wear like a little hat.
Like as a visor.
Like a visor. Tape it to a visor and literally just set your bangs on this plane. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make sure that the bangs really like red on the webcam. So.
And they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, yeah. One of my favorite Halloween costumes of all time is two years ago we had the party at my house and Drake came as the right to bear arms.
Oh, right. I remember seeing those pictures.
B-A-R-E, bear
arms. Yeah. I do like that.
I like it.
Yeah. It's good times. Anyway, I won't bother you guys with this haunted disco story, but it exists, and you can Google the Ozone disco ghost story as it happened in the Philippines. So there's pictures, too, on this one site I found. So, anyway, on that note, guys, thank you so much for coming out to the live show. We would love to hear your ghost stories. We would love to hear your stories for the month of Broadsgiving. Let us know if you want to highlight any charity organization to raise awareness about it. You know, if you're on the fence about emailing or calling, and this is a great way for you to get more involved in the broadcast community. You can give us a call at 331-276-2373, or you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Thank you again to the chat. Thank you to the patrons. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you. We appreciate everyone that listens, actually. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/janejack. You can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link at the top right-hand corner of the page. Black Friday is coming. Holidays are coming. We would really appreciate it if you did any of your online shopping through the Amazon affiliates link. And that would be janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. And you can set that as your page. And then anything you get through that helps us out, too. Check out the other shows on the network. We have Survivor JJC, Survivor J Jack and Colleen. That would be the other one that I'm doing right now on Survivor. We have The Watchmen with J Jack and Matt, which is quite excellent. It's new. I just caught up on it yesterday and I'm all pumped about it. They have great, great perspective on the new Watchmen show on HBO. We have Dancing with the Stars with Jack and Cindy. We have the Ramblecast After Dark. I believe they're doing their live show, their live monthly patrons show for the Hangout Level patrons next week. I think I've got everything that's airing now, so stay tuned for all of that, though. And tell your friends about us if you like the show. Like, that's the best thing that you can do is actually, you know, pass us along. And if they love scary stories, start them off with this episode. If they like stories about people fucking, start them off with the one from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it is.
There's something for everyone.
Something
for everyone.
Yeah. I promise. We're a good time. You guys know. You're listening. You're still here. All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to have our monthly bonus show for the patrons that contribute at the $5 or more level. We're going to record that as soon as we're done with this. So that should be out within the next day or so. And then we'll see you guys next week. Yeah. Anybody else have anything?
I do not.
All right. Nope. Happy Hollow Broadsween Eve. Hollow, whatever. All right. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda. Woo. Happy Halloween.
And I'm Claire.
All right. Peace out, everybody. Rest in peace, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. Ooh, that was terrible. In the dentist office. Come back.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ooh. If you find yourself in the dentist office, fight it.
Don't pick up a magazine. Fight.
All right. On that note, goodbye. My name's Colleen.
Amanda, yeah, Shandy. Goodbye. Everybody. Amanda.
Goodbye. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Oh, dear.
Good Lord.
Oh, dear.